Good evening, everyone, and God bless you. Thank you for being with us tonight, and I pray that you've had a good afternoon. If you've been enjoying the weather, or maybe you've been enjoying the back of your eyelids, whatever you've chosen to do today, I pray that you've enjoyed it and you've been blessed in it. We're thankful for all of you being with us tonight, and we're also thankful for everyone that was with us this morning, whether you were in the parking lot or you were watching us on Facebook. Again, I want to tell all of you thank you for sharing our services. It is an honor for us that you put confidence in us, but most importantly, we thank you and we ask you to do it because it's God's Word and it's our desire at Thomas Village that the Word of God go forth and that people hear it, and whether they accept Christ or not, we've been obedient in delivering the gospel. Tonight, we're going to kindly follow up with our message this morning, Growing Through Our Failures. And if I had a title, it would be Growing Through Our Failures 2. But we're going to be in the book of John chapter 21. But before we get going tonight, we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing a song, and then I'll go through the prayer needs, and Brother Frank's going to lead us in our prayer time tonight. But this is one that you probably know by heart if you've been in the Baptist church much in your life. In our Baptist hymnal, it's 572, and it's "I Love to Tell the Story." 572. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longing as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, 'tis pleasant to repeat. What seems each time I tell it, more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing a new song, 'twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. Amen. Y'all are sounding good tonight. Sounding good. Again, we'll be in the book of John, chapter 21. John, chapter 21, we'll be beginning in verse 12 there and going through verse 19. But before we get into that, we just want to have a time of our prayer request. And we don't do it very often on Sunday morning, just to kind of keep things streamlined. And so we try to focus on it specifically on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, and also during our devotionals. I'm not going to go through the corona numbers today, but I do want to give a word of praise from the numbers. Now, this was specifically for today, August the 23rd, and this was, I checked the numbers at about 2:30, 3 o'clock. And I know that any death is there's a family involved, there's a life involved, and if they didn't know Jesus Christ, then it is extremely tragic. But if they did know Christ, it is a blessing. It is a graduation into a better life. But today, deaths in America due to COVID was only, and that is a relative term, only 241. And now again, that was at 2:30, 3 o'clock. It may have gone up to then, but I'd say that's one of the lowest numbers that there's been in a while. And God is blessing us. And then we're thankful for that. We want to ask you to remember Scott County Schools tomorrow. They're going to be going back. There's going to be a lot of different things going on. That's just like in Lee County. They started on the 20th, Thursday and Friday, but both days were orientation because you had one group that came on Thursday and the other group came on Friday. And so we're just in a time of different, time of learning. But we do want to praise the Lord for those that were here with us this morning. We're thankful for the sweet spirit, and we know God's dealing with people through His Word. Thank you for all the kind compliments, and any glory be to Jesus Christ. Because like I said this morning, I know there's nothing good in me, and but by the grace of God, there go I. But we want to pray for the lost. Again, we have on our prayer list just here at Thomas Village, we have over 180 names that we try to call out for salvation. And so we want to lift them up. We want to pray for the backslidden, those that's drifted away, those that feel like they've fallen or failed too deep. But praise God, we learned this morning, and we'll look tonight, that God can use our failures, and not only can He use them for His glory and our good, but we can also learn lessons in them that we would not learn any other way. We want to pray for marriages. Praise God. I just came out of some, I don't like to call it marriage counseling, but marriage preparation, you might say. Looking forward, Brother Tyler and Meg will be getting married October the 23rd. We want to pray for marriages, and we want to pray for the depressed. We want to pray for the Vaughn family and the Dingus family. And then we have our prayer needs, physical. Some are more severe than others. But we want to pray for Daniel Jordan, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Robbie Jordan, Judy Webb, Ashley Beverly Jr., Tyler and Donna Hodge, David and Felicia Cantrell, Sabrina and Lance Stollard, Sister Catherine Ward, Charles Ayers, Angie Farmer, Tommy and Alma Mullins. We know they're out of town. I know he was supposed to see a specialist, I believe, at the end of last week. Randy Flansler, Haley Webb, Frank and Mary Garrett, Carol Dishner, Greg Bartlett, Sheila Stanley, Patrick Fields, Riley Clements, John Berry, Courtney Hall, Rhonda Bryant, Pauline Weiniger, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Jeanette Carter, Kinsley Roberts, Linda Jordan, Lynn Mullins, Jerry Flannery, David Starnes, Mark Smith, Jim Lamb, Nicholas Patrick, Jill Dysart, Merle Edwards, Will Mendon Daniels, Mary Snodgrass, Cecilia and Frank Pennington, Sheila Stanley, Paul Hahn and family, JC and Derek Osborne, and their unborn triplets, Jay and Ruby Keck. Praise God, they're at home. They're under the same roof, so to God be the glory there. Cindy Osborne, Faye Hill, Ruth Roten, Levi Lynn, Donnie Fields, Lottie Johnson, Brother Hoyt and Sister Phyllis, Liza Fletcher, Sister Henrietta, Brother Bobby and Sister June Jesse, Sister Margaret and Brother Chet Wheeler, Sister Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Sister Wilma Williams, Linda Jackson, John and Carmine Shoup, Ryan Luke, a young man named Joey that last we heard he was on the respirator, and they were concerned about brain damage and issues there, and the Lord knows he needs a healing touch. So we also want to pray for our Duffield Fire and Rescue workers and all of our first responders. We want to lift them up. And then again, first off, remember the elections are coming up. Be prayerful over that. Cover it in prayer. Bathe it in prayer. Then also we've had people in the past week that have posted on our webpage or our live feed that they have unspokens, and so the Lord knows each and every one of those. Also, I recognize that each of you at home, you have your own concerns, you have your own prayer needs, and so right now I just encourage you to verbally call them out. We rebuke the enemy from using it against you or making it a weapon to try to harm you, but that it goes straight from your lips to the throne of God, and we will, in agreement together, by the power of the Holy Spirit, pray that God's will be done in your life. And so now I'm going to ask Brother Frank Pennington, if he would, to come and lead us in prayer over these needs and to open up our service tonight.
I want to welcome everyone. If you would, let's just bow our head and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do come before you this evening, Lord. Again, grateful and appreciative, Lord, that we can be in your house. And we thank you, Lord, that term can incorporate those watching on Facebook, those listening in the parking lot with a 88.1 feed, Lord. And just grateful that we can be here and worship you this evening, Lord. And we know that as we've come for these last few months, Lord, it's been very troublesome. It's been fearful at times. But to God be the glory, Lord, that we know that you're in control and that your Son came, Lord, and that he gave his life upon Calvary, Lord, that if we will just accept him as our Savior, Lord, we can have a peace. And I pray tonight, Lord, that those that are listening, if they are without a relationship with you, Lord, that tonight would be the night, as Brian brings the word, that you would just touch them. And we know, Lord, that there were those this morning, Lord, that are looking, that came here looking this morning, Lord. And I pray that you just work in their hearts, Lord. You draw them close to you. And, Lord, we have many prayer requests that Brian just went through with the members here, Lord, but I just pray, Lord, that there comes a time soon, Lord, that you remove this fear from our country, Lord, and this COVID-19 from our land, and that you would just bring us back to be able to worship together in your house, Lord, without fear of that, without the fear of the virus, Lord. And we just ask you to bring that to us soon, for we know you're in control, Lord, and that you can speak things into existence, Lord, just as you spoke this world. And we ask, Lord, that you be with all those concerns mentioned here tonight that Brian brought forth, Lord. We know we have many that are sick, Lord, and that have health problems. We just ask you to touch that in a special way, Lord, that you know each need in each situation. And, Lord, we do pray for our country. We're so blessed in this country, Lord, that we almost take it for granted at a great many times, Lord, that you bless us with many freedoms. You bless us with many opportunities to witness, Lord, in your name. And we just so grateful that we can do that, but we ask, Lord, that you just help us to stop, and as Brian preached this morning, that we learn from our mistakes, for I've made many, Lord, and I confess them to you, and I ask your forgiveness. Yes. And just help us, Lord, to understand what's truly important, and mostly what is number one, and that, Lord, is just a relationship with you. And we ask you, Lord, to help us all to draw upon that, Lord, to focus upon that, and that it would change our lives, Lord. If we do know you as our personal Savior, Lord, that we would just draw closer, Lord, to you, and that we would take a renewed interest in the things of God, Lord, that you would draw us closer into reading your word, Lord, that we would spend time daily in your word, and that you would feed us, Lord, and that we would just praise you for that, praise you for the guidance you give us, Lord. And again, I thank you so much, Lord, for this church and all those that work behind the scenes during these last few months, Lord. We just ask a special blessing upon them, those that have come forward to give devotional services. We thank you for our pastor and his family. We thank you for Ken. We thank you for the many, many people that work behind the scenes, Lord. There's just too many to name, but we just ask a special blessing upon them. And as our country goes into elections, Lord, we just ask now that you calm our hearts, you give us peace, you give us wisdom, Lord, mm-hmm. and that we examine what those that are running for these offices say, and that we take it and we take it and we apply the word of God. And then as we apply that, Lord, we see truly where their hearts are. And we pray, Lord, that there be a great revival, a great understanding, and a great drawing closer to you as the election comes in, Lord, that you would just steady our hearts. And again, we're just so thankful, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for this word that you give us, the Bible, your holy word. And again, we just thank you for the ability to be here this evening. And we just ask you to open our hearts and our minds, Lord, and that you would just help us to hear all that you would have us to in the word as Brian brings the message this evening. And again, we just ask you to lead, God, and direct us and protect us in this week to follow. In Jesus' name and for his sake, we do pray. Amen.
Amen. As you're turning to the book of John, and we want to say, Sister Pam, we lift up Sister Miss Chandra London today and lift her up. And, as you're turning to John chapter 21, we do want to remind you once again that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let him today, he'll do even greater things than we can ever imagine. Growing through our failure. As we look at that, and we talked about it this morning, many of us, when we looked at that, immediately failure would not have come to mind as we read that passage. You know, we would kindly have passed over it without thinking, but those men, those disciples, they were in the process of learning how to carry on the ministry of Christ. And they had seen Christ do healings. They had seen Christ cast out demons. And basically, they had been walking behind their rabbi. They were trying to take in everything. And then this opportunity came up. And the father brought the son, and the son was tormented by the demon. And when it came time for rubber meet the road, they were not spiritually mature enough to minister to the Father and the Son in that situation. But a beautiful picture there that just stands out to me as you turn to John 21 is right when Jesus comes on the scene, the scribes are chewing on the disciples. And they're gnawing on them. I mean, you can just imagine how blunt they were with Jesus at times, how aggressive they were with him. How much more were they probably going after his apostles, these fishers, these tax collectors? You know, I mean, they weren't learned men in the eyes of the world, but they were able to hold their own, especially when we look over into Acts. We see that the Sanhedrin said, these men have been with Christ. They've studied. They know. But when Jesus came on the scene, he immediately took the glare and the focus off of them and brought it straight to himself. And what a wonderful thing to know today, that we have a Savior that not only has done so much for us, that he's died on the cross, he rose again, he's interceding on our behalf, but he's ready at any time to take the brunt of whatever is coming our way, and so that he can be glorified. But also we see in the apostles, we see that they do come around. They get to the point where they do amazing things. I'm specifically thinking of Peter and John. Now we know that, like we talked this morning, that they were two that had been 24 hours before that. They had been on the Mount of Transfiguration. They had seen the divine. They had seen the glory. They had heard the voice of God. They had looked into the future about what the Messiah will look like in the fullness of his lordship. But then the next day they failed. But not when we look in the book of Acts, do you remember when they met the lame man at the gate called Beautiful? Simple what they said at that time. You remember what they said? Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Or what? Simple, but the faith that they had learned during that time had grown. Would they have been the same people had they not fallen or failed, and God used it in such a way? Now tonight, we're going to look, as we're growing through failure, number two, we're going to look at a very well-known fall. But we're going to look at the result of the fall is what we're going to look at. So here in John chapter 21, let's begin in verse 12. I'm going to read it out of the King James, but later on I'm going to read it out of the Christian Standard. John 21:12. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples did ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Now, this would be the third time. The first two times specifically is in the upper room without doubting Thomas, if you remember, in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. And then about a week later, 10 days later, we're told that Jesus came with Thomas in the upper room there in John chapter 20, verses 25 through 29. Now, this would be the third time that Jesus revealed himself to him, but I don't believe it was the last time, and I believe that he had revealed himself many more times during this time period before he ascended. But now we're in verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And he, Jesus, said unto him, feed my sheep. 16, and he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And Peter said, Peter was grieved because Jesus said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And Peter said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, and you know that I love you. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, or you put your own belt on, and walked whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This he, Jesus, spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto them, follow me. Now this morning, as we looked at that passage over in Mark chapter 9, we had three basic points of things that we can learn because of our failures. Things that we might not learn if we had not had those failures. It was one, we learn that we never grow past our need for the Lord Jesus Christ. Bottom line, not here on this side of eternity, nor on the other side of eternity. Now, we'll never grow past our need for faith on this side of eternity. But the Bible says there's coming a day that our faith will end with sight when we lay our eyes on Jesus Christ. And it's the same thing with prayer. On this side of glory, we will never outgrow our need for prayer and fasting to pull into the presence of God. But tonight, I want us to consider other things that we can learn. And they're going to be kindly simple, but they'll be, I think it'll be good to be reminded. So, most of us have studied this passage before, but to bring us to the up to this point, according to Matthew chapter 26, between verses 30 and 34, when the apostles were told by Christ Jesus that all of them would stumble that night, and that basically each and every one of them would forsake Jesus when he was arrested by the centurions. Simon Peter, who has been known to speak up, he was basically the vocal leader of the group, and at times he put his foot in his mouth so much that Jesus said one time, you're the devil, get behind me, you're not thinking like a follower of mine should be. But Peter spoke up and he said, according to John chapter 13 verse 37, not only would he not forsake Jesus, but that he would be willing to die to be able to stay along with Jesus. And I would say that most of us as believers, we would have that heart as well. We would want to be faithful, and no matter what, you know, if they came and said, you can't worship in church anymore, either you'll be locked up or you be willing not to come to church. I believe most of us would say, hey, I'll be willing to be locked up. Yeah, it's easy to say that until you're standing there looking at the police saying, go to the house or either be locked up one. You know, we don't know how we would respond. That's why we shouldn't judge. All we can do is pray, Lord, give me the faith when the time comes. Give me the power and the strength when the time comes. So he said, I won't leave you. Matter of fact, I'll die for you. And then Jesus said, not only, Peter, will you forsake me, you're going to run just like everybody else runs, but before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And we know what happened. In each of the gospel records Simon Peter's failure in their own way. Matthew 26, verses 69 through 75. Mark chapter 14, verses 66 through 72. Luke chapter 22, verses 55 through 62. John chapter 18, verses 15 through 18 and 25 through 27. In fact, Luke tells us that while Peter was yet speaking his last denial, that while the words were coming out of his mouth, that the cock crew or the rooster crowed. And at that moment, Christ Jesus looked at Simon Peter. And in that moment, Simon Peter remembered the prophecy of Christ. Saul recognized and realized that he was in the process of denying Christ. And it said that basically he became a broken man. It says that he went out and he wept bitterly. Now, Peter and John, from that moment on, Jesus has been nailed to the cross. He's been taken off the cross. He's been put in a borrowed tomb, and it's 3 days later. And the women that were at the tomb, the two Marys and the others, they had went back and told them. And Jesus said, go tell my disciples and Peter. He had a specific message for Peter. But Peter and John ran down. They saw the empty tomb. They saw the grave clothes laying. They were there both times when Jesus came to the upper room without Thomas and with Thomas. But Peter was a crushed and confused man at a loss for what he was going to do. Who is he now that he's failed Christ so greatly? That he's fallen and will Christ even use him? But here's what's amazing. This huge failure, a devastating fall, but in less than 50 days, on the day of Pentecost, hallelujah, this same man who denied Christ three times and ran and wept bitterly, he's going to preach such a powerful sermon that 3,000 or more are going to be saved at that time. You see how much we can be on the mountaintop at one moment and we can be in a place of failure the next, but then God can raise us up and we'll be right back more useful than we've ever been before. That's how awesome our God is. That's how He can take failures and use them for His glory and for our good. But guess what? We ain't at the day of Pentecost yet. You know, matter of fact, Peter really hasn't had a conversation with Jesus. He doesn't know what Jesus is going to tell him. He should have, being as he's walked with Him for so much, but we're not there yet. This uncertain, crushed and lost disciple, we're told in John chapter 21 verse 3, decides that he's going back fishing. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, go with Peter, as well as Thomas and Nathanael and two other apostles. So basically we're told that there's seven. There's seven of them out there fishing. Having fished all night, they caught nothing. And in the morning, there was a man standing on the shore who instructed them to cast their nets on the right side. And when they did, we would say they caught a mess of fish. Matter of fact, the Bible specifically says they caught 153 fish. But guess what? If you flip back just to in the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, you're going to see almost the mirror image of what happens there, because Luke records that the day that Jesus called Peter, James, and John, to become fishers of men, he told them basically do the same thing. He says, have you caught anything? They said, no. He says, put your net on the other side. And Peter basically said, hey, man, we're tired. We've been out here all night and ain't caught nothing, but okay, you're telling us to. And what happened? It says they caught so many that the net's about broke and another boat had to come and help them. So they knew it was the Lord. They knew that it was the Lord. Now, let's read it again. John 21, verses 12 through 19. Come and have breakfast, Jesus told them. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Because they knew that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. Now was the third time Jesus had appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter said to him, you know that I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. And a second time, Jesus asked Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? To Peter, which Peter said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Shepherd my sheep, Jesus told him. And Jesus asked Peter a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was now grieved as Jesus asked him for the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Truly I tell you, when you were younger, you would tie your belt and walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone will tie you and carry you where you don't want to go. This Jesus said to indicate by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. After saying this, Jesus told Peter simply, follow me. Now, if you look at that phrase there in verses 18 and 19, Jesus said, you know, you're going to get old and you're going to not be, it's not going to be like it was when you were a young man. He says, you're going to stretch out your hands. This is a picture of how Simon Peter would die. Church history says that Simon Peter lived about 34 years after this prophecy. So he would have become the older man, like Jesus said, when you grow old. Probably around 64 AD is when he died. He died after the great fire in Rome that most people believe Nero set, but then Nero blamed it on the Christians so he could use that to kill off Christians. And Simon Peter was one of the ones that he chose to martyr. And church history also tells us this. Not only was Simon Peter crucified, but he requested to be crucified upside down because he did not find himself worthy to die in the manner of his Messiah. Isn't that awesome? But when Jesus prophesied Simon's death, we got to think about what he's saying. Now remember, this Peter, at the most difficult time in the life of Christ, at the very moment where Christ could have used some witnesses, at the very moment where he could have used somebody to stand up for him and to be there for him, all of them backed out on him. At the most difficult time, Simon ran. He denied him. He cussed, trying to enforce that he didn't. Jesus is saying right here when he's telling him how he's going to die, guess what, Simon? It ain't going to get easier. It's not going to get more easier. And I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, the older we get, the storms, the battles, the trials, they're going to be more intense. We ain't young no more. That means the sicknesses are going to wear on us a little bit more. You can look at the circumstances and the situations in our country. It's not going to be more favorable to Christians. It's going to get less and less to Christians. But Simon Peter, again, we remember that he's the one that said, silver and gold have I none. And he's the one that preached the sermon and so many were saved. What happened? And would Simon Peter have been the man that he was had he not had such a great fall? Now, Nobody likes to go through painful falls, like we talked about this morning. None of us would teach our children to stay away from fire by sticking their hands in coal. We wouldn't do that. But for those of us that have maybe fallen on hot coals, or those of us that have placed our hand on a hot eye of a stove, guess what? We are more memorable now of that thing being hot, and we're going to check before we lay our hands down. Why? Because through our mistakes, we've learned and gained wisdom. Now, would Simon Peter have chosen beforehand to deny Christ? Would he said, I think the best thing for me to do right now would be deny Christ? No. What happened? His flesh overcame him in that moment. Fear overcame him. Just like we're seeing in our country right now. There's a lot of people, and I believe this 100%. You know what? In America right now, about half or even more, we're not living. We're staying in our house. We're wearing our masks. We're just surviving. We're not enjoying life. We're not making the most of it. We're letting fear overcome us. Was it his desire to forsake the Lord during his most difficult circumstances? No. He wanted to be there. He said, I want to die for you, Lord. But what did he say? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's what Jesus told them. Does Peter now take pride knowing that not only did he deny Jesus, but he cursed so he would sound more believable? It's just like us. Every one of us have a failure in our mind. I remember I used to tell people, they would witness to me about the Lord and they'd want me to be saved, and I'd say, no, I'm not going to get saved till I can live it. I'm not going to be an old hypocrite. And I'd say I've probably been the biggest hypocrite of any one. Why? Because I know better now. I know the scriptures now. Am I proud of my failures? No, just like Peter wouldn't. But think about the things that Peter learned as Jesus was restoring him. When we look at this passage, you can almost see the picture here that Jesus kind of pulls Peter off to the side. And notice what he says. He says, Peter, son of John, Jonas, do you love me more than these? The word love there in the passage is agape. He's asking him in that moment, and who's he talking about? Is he talking about the love for the apostles, his friends? Is he talking about his career? Maybe talking about the fishing or whatever? I believe he's kind of talking about the apostles. I think he's kind of talking about that. And he's saying, do you love me enough to put them aside so that I could be a benefit to your life? What does he say? He says, yes. Yes, I love you, Lord. And then it goes on again. And Simon Peter in verse 16, again, Jesus asked him, Simon, do you love me? Again, agape. Now notice he doesn't ask this time. He didn't say, do you love me more than these? Now he's asking, do you love me enough to sacrifice for me? Will you put self aside? And he says, Lord, you know I love you. And then in the last one, verse 17, he asked him, he says, Peter, do you phileo me? Do you love me as a brother? Do you love me like a friend? Are we family? And this is where it grieved him, because he knew that Jesus was referencing back to the three times that he had failed him. And he said, Lord, you know everything, and you know that I love you. But I want you to think about this as well. Even though Jesus had prophesied that he would fall, Jesus also prophesied that he would be restored. You remember in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 32, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brethren. Feed my sheep, shepherd my sheep. Feed my flock. What Jesus knew, Jesus had a plan. Now think about it. What can we learn through our failures? We can learn that God has a plan and a purpose for our life. He has a plan and a purpose for the world around us. And nothing is going to stop that. Not Satan, not my failures, not my flaws. And matter of fact, he's still going to pick me up after that, and he's going to use me in his plan. And the only way that he could have known that was to remember, hey, I've fallen. But even before that, he said I was going to fall, but that he would pick me up and that he was going to use me to feed his sheep. Now, most of us, God's got a plan and a purpose for us. But sometimes the only way that we can realize that nothing is going to stop God's power, nothing's going to stop God's plan, is for us to fall and for Him to pick us back up and to restore us, not who we were before, but to even greater than we were before. But then also think about this. Could Peter have preached so passionately about the forgiveness and the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ had he not experienced it so much? Now, and remember, it was Peter who over in Matthew chapter 18 said, well, how many times do I have to forgive somebody? And Jesus, and he said, seven times? Jesus said, hey, I'm not telling you in Matthew 18, 22. He says, I'm not going to tell you seven times, but I'm going to tell you seven times 70 times. As much as it takes. And praise God, you know that's what Jesus does for us. How many times does He forgive us? Every time we need it. Matter of fact, His forgiveness for His children is always hanging there. It's always there. We've just got to receive it. We can't let it beat us up and hold us down. The guilt. We have to claim, we have to believe the words of God when He says, I have forgiven you. I have washed you clean, past, present, and future, for your body of sin, for your whole life's work of sin. He's done that. And then also, he learned that his calling was given to him by God, and not even he could remove it. Not even. We many times like to disqualify ourselves. We do. We don't. We won't witness to people. Why? Because we feel unworthy to witness to them. Who am I, such a failure, to try to tell somebody else about Jesus? See, we disqualify ourselves. But I tell you this, everybody who's heard the message and the truth of God's forgiveness heard it from a sinner saved by grace. Romans chapter 11, verse 29, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable, meaning that they cannot be removed. He doesn't take back. You say, Brian, well, what about certain situations? Well, I'll say this, we can do things that will limit our calling, but that doesn't change our calling. I know a man right now, he felt like he had been called to preach all of his life, but he run from it. Now he's sitting in a jail cell. That means he's not in the pulpits preaching, but what is he doing? He's ministering to other inmates now and fulfilling his calling behind bars. What happened? He's limited himself in how he can function in his calling, but God didn't change his calling. And the same is true for us. God's not going to take it away. So think about this. This morning we learned that we can never grow past our need for Jesus. We can never grow past our need for faith. We can never grow past our need for prayer and fasting. And tonight, as we look at growing through our failures, we see that it's in our failures that we can recognize the power and the plan of God is unstoppable. We can recognize and more passionately preach forgiveness and atonement and newness and grace and mercy more than we could before the fall. And we can also be assured that our calling from God is His gift to us, and that He gave it to us and no one else can take it away. We may choose to disqualify ourselves, but He will not take it away. And here's what's awesome. We think about these apostles. We think about Peter. Well, Romans chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 says this, there will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, but glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, for the Jew first and also to the Greek, for God shows no partiality. If God will restore Peter, if God will lift up those disciples up from their failures, then guess what? It's nothing for Him today. He's ready and He's willing to pick you up and to set you back on His solid foundation. God bless you. I love you. I pray that your weekend has been blessed. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Brother Otis will be leading us in our devotional. And then I'm pretty sure that this Wednesday we'll be back doing a lesson on what does the Bible say about it with Brother Tim. So I love you. I appreciate you. And you have a blessed week. And nobody loves you like Jesus. Bye-bye.